Almost exactly 2,000 years ago, Jesus rode on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem. And as we were singing that last song, it occurred to me that he was riding into a city that was overcome by evil, a city that was overcome by sin and distress, all the brokenness of life that we've been talking and singing about this morning. That was all right there. And I remembered what Luke says in his account of the triumphal entry, that when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, he was weeping. He was weeping for the lost city. He was longing for them to have hope. But he knew their eyes were not open. Palm Sunday is such a significant day because it marks the start of the great act of salvation that God chose not to leave us alone in our struggle, not to leave us alone in our sorrow, but he came and he entered into it. And so Palm Sunday is the beginning of the Passion Week. And in that context, the word passion means suffering. It was the start of the week of suffering for Jesus. There's one word that's most closely associated with Palm Sunday. Do you know what it is? Go ahead and shout it out if you do. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna is the word that we most associate with Palm Sunday. Hosanna is the word that the people were shouting as they were waving their palm branches, laying down their coats on the road. They were shouting, Hosanna. And so I want to take just about the next 15 minutes or so and talk about that one word. Because I believe it's actually the exact word that we need this morning. Open your Bibles to John chapter 12. If you've been at Fellowship over the last number of months, we've been walking through John's gospel together. We left off in chapter 8. This morning and next, we're going to skip ahead in John's gospel to the events of Palm Sunday and then Easter Sunday next week. And then we'll come back after and pick it back up in John chapter 8. But I want us to look at these two verses and really zero in on this one word, because this is where we find this word in John's account of Palm Sunday. John chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. So here's where we find this word, Hosanna. It was shouted at the beginning of the Passover feast. Now, everyone recognizes that word, but few really know what it means. I would guess that if I asked you and you came in this morning, hey, what does the word Hosanna mean? Most would say, I'm not real sure, but I think it's a word of praise. It's a shout of praise. And you wouldn't be all wrong, but there's a lot more to this word. And in fact, the key to understanding this word is to know where it comes from. And I don't just mean Palm Sunday. It came from a deeper, older place in Israel's history. You see, when Jesus was riding in, the people were shouting these words, and they weren't just making them up on the spot. They were quoting them. They were quoting them from a psalm. You see, the Hebrew people have Passover songs, just like we have Christmas carols that we all know and we pull out at Christmas time and we sing them. God's people, the nation of Israel, have Passover songs. And the good news for us is we have the lyrics to all their Passover songs because they're all from the book of Psalms. And so the words that this crowd was shouting as Jesus was coming into the city came straight from one of the most popular Passover songs, Psalm 118. Everyone knew this one by heart. It would have been a little like us singing, Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And you don't need to turn there, but I want to put on the screen the words of Psalm 118, 24 to 26. And we'll see exactly where these words they were shouting came from. Psalm 118, Joe, if you could just put that on the screen. 24 to 26, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. We pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Now, you might see there part that you recognize. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But you might be thinking, where is Hosanna? Let me show you where Hosanna is in this text. You see in verse 25 where it says, save us, we pray. It's actually two Hebrew words. Save us is the Hebrew word hoshia. We pray is the Hebrew word na, N-A. Now, na doesn't actually mean pray, but it's a word of emphasis. It's a word of yes. It's a word of please. It's a petition word. So I think a good translation of save us, we pray, would be save us, please. Hoshia, na. Say each of those words together after I do. The first word is hoshia. Say it with me. Hoshia. Now say the word na. Na. Now we're going to squeeze them together. You ready for this? Let's say this all at once. Hoshia na. Say it one more time. This time squeeze it even closer. Hoshia na. Hosanna. Hosanna. Save us, please. That's what these words meant. And they come straight from Psalm 118. In fact, this is the only place in the Old Testament where those two words are put together like that. So the reason they were shouting hosannas, they were saying, save us, please. They were singing this song, this Passover song. Passover is about rescue. Passover is about salvation. And the people were crying out, save us, Lord. Save us, please. For the Hebrew people, these words stirred in the memories of their ancestors' bondage in Egypt and how they had cried out to God for rescue and he had delivered. So Hosanna, Hosanna became the cry of a people who were drowning, not in water, but in sorrow. Hosanna is the cry of the person who is feeling the brokenness and cruelty and injustice of life in a fallen place like this and is on the cusp of giving up. Hosanna means, I just can't take it anymore, O Lord. Come, save us, deliver us, please. Something interesting happened over the centuries. As every year the people would gather in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover and retell the story of deliverance, and they would sing this song, Hosanna. The word took on an additional meaning. And I want to show you how this happened. Notice in Psalm 118, what comes right after verse 25, verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's a reference to the Messiah. It's not just anyone. It's blessed is he, the one who's coming, the Messiah. Blessed is he. He's coming in the name of the Lord. So think about this. You've just sung, save us, rescue us. And before you can even take a breath, you're also saying, he's coming. He's on his way. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So because these two ideas were so closely connected in this song, over the years, Hosanna came to mean not only save us, please, but also salvation is on the way. Salvation is coming. Imagine if you're drowning and you call out for help. You say, save us, please, we're drowning. And then as soon as you cry it out, you see the rescue boat drawing near and you say, we're rescued, we're saved, salvation is here, Hosanna. This is what makes this word so special. By the time of Jesus, it had become both a prayer for help and a praise of thanksgiving. it is simultaneously a cry for deliverance and a shout of joy that the deliverer has come. Now let's go back to John chapter 12. And let's look again at the word Hosanna in John chapter 12. The Savior of the world was riding into Jerusalem at that very moment. And even though the people didn't fully understand the significance of it, they sensed something. And so they were singing this. They were shouting, Hosanna. They were saying the right word. Save us. Rescue us. And salvation has come. That was the moment for that word. In all the history of the world, that was the time to shout out, Hosanna. It was a fulfillment of Psalm 118. They've been singing that song every year. Think about it this way. There will be a day that we will get to sing joy to the world, looking at the Savior who has come. And we will say, let earth receive her king. This was that moment for the Hebrew people. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They didn't fully have eyes to see, but this was the moment. Psalm 118 was fulfilled. And the religious leaders got all upset about it. They realized, oh, the people are attributing to this rabbi from Nazareth that he's the one, he's the Messiah that has come to deliver. And so they told Jesus, the religious leaders did, they said, Jesus, make them be quiet. Jesus said, if they keep silent, the rocks will cry out. In other words, Jesus was saying the creation itself can sense this is the culminating moment of all the cries for rescue that have ever come from the mouths of all God's creatures. Which is why Hosanna is our word as well. We are a people who still live in a fallen world and feel the injustice and the evil. And so we say, Hosanna, save us. Rescue us from our drowning. And we are also a people who know that the Savior has come. And he will come again. And so we can shout, Hosanna, salvation is here. Let me say it another way. For God's people, when we find ourselves crushed by waves of evil that threaten to take us under, our Hosanna is both a prayer and the answer to our prayer because of Jesus. On Palm Sunday, the deliverer rode into Jerusalem, not to enjoy the power and comfort of a throne, but to enter into our suffering. During Jesus' Passion Week, his suffering week, he was bruised and beaten and crucified. He put on himself the consequence of every evil, even the evil in our day. Jesus put it on himself. He did not hold himself back, even from death. And because we know that Good Friday leads to Easter Sunday morning, we know that Jesus' suffering was not meaningless. It was purposeful. The suffering of Jesus is what gives birth to hope. Without Christ coming into the world and taking on our wounds and taking on our suffering, what hope is there? It can't be in this place, this stuff, this muck that we live in, this evil. It just keeps happening and it will keep happening. Our hope is not in humanity getting better, but there is hope. There is hope. And he's a person. And he is our rescuer. And so we can hold these two parts of Hosanna together. We can hold Hosanna, rescue us, Jesus. Save us. We're still drowning. We're still here. We're still struggling. And Jesus, you are rescuing us. You are saving us. You are our deliverer. We can hold these two things together. On the night when he spent his last meal with his disciples, he gave them a promise. He gave them multiple promises, but the one that always stood out to me was this promise. He said, "In this world, you will have trouble." But then his very next sentence was this, "But take heart, for I have overcome the world." And so that's the tension of grief and hope. That's where we are today. And to a certain degree, that's where we will be all of our days until he comes back. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. He has overcome the world. And so with that in our minds, I invite you to the table this morning. Take out the elements of the Lord's Supper that you picked up on your way in. And if you did not pick them up, I want to encourage you even now. If you are someone who has put your trust in Jesus, go back through those doors. We'll wait for you. Get the communion elements, because I want you to be able to taste and see that grief and hope are inseparable. And we're going to do that together this morning through communion. So I just want to encourage you, peel back the top layer and just take the bread out. Don't eat it yet. Just hold it in your hand. Hold the bread in your hand. Our cry this morning is Hosanna. And it's both meanings of that word. Lord, please rescue us. We're drowning in our suffering. We're drowning in evil. It seems to be. It seems to be. And yet we also say, Hosanna, salvation has come. Jesus has come. And we say, Jesus, would you come back? Would you rescue us? Would you help us? And we believe, Jesus, you will. These elements that you hold in your hands right now are reminders that Christ suffered not so that we would not suffer. That was never the deal. He suffered so that we could suffer with hope, so that we could follow him in suffering and follow him in resurrection. As we spoke out earlier, what we need Jesus to be, as Luke led us through that, I want to likewise ask us to speak again together corporately as a body, even as you're holding the bread and the cup in your hand in the company of God's people. We need to remind each other that Jesus meets every need that we articulated. So the statement this time is, Jesus, you are, fill in the blank. I want to give you a moment. What word would you put in that blank? Jesus, you are. Take a moment and I'll lead us together. Now we finish this statement with the bread and the cup in our hands. Jesus, you are. Jesus, you are hope. You are rescue. You are salvation. You are good. You are strong. You are our kind Savior. You are the courageous sufferer. You are the one who is humble, the one who is compassionate. You are the lover of our hearts. You are our only rock, the one hope that we look to. You are salvation. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, and after having blessed it, he offered it to his followers, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Let's eat in remembrance of him." Peel back the foil layer. I want you just to look at what's inside. After Jesus blessed the bread and distributed the bread, he took a cup. He blessed the cup. He said something amazing. He said, "This cup is the new covenant that is in my blood." Covenant. That word means relationship. Jesus was inviting all who believe into a new relationship with him, the kind of relationship that transcends death. That's what that word means. Relationship with God that transcends death. What you hold in your hands represents the blood of Jesus, which is the new covenant for all who believe. Let's drink with gladness. We're going to sing one more song this morning, and to prepare our hearts for that, I want to take us back to where we started, really the theme throughout this morning's message. We do not grieve as those without hope. Oh, we grieve. Yes, we grieve. But we do not grieve as those without hope. Whether we express that hope in private prayer or public worship like this, it is always inseparable from our grief. This morning, we stand on the verge of this week, this Passion Week, Jesus's week of suffering, culminating in the gruesome death of Good Friday and then the empty tomb of Sunday morning. I can't wait to get to Easter this year. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, the cross was transformed from an instrument of death and suffering to the means by which death and suffering are overcome. And we will shout shouts of joy and sing songs of praise next weekend as we celebrate Easter. And it is not wishful thinking. The empty tomb is the essence of our hope. Right now, things are still not the way they're supposed to be, but one day, God will make all things new. And we will see Jesus face to face. Let's sing about that.